And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Thanks so much for your belief and trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together. I want to offer my prayers to those injured, our prayers to those injured in the shooting today. Didn't hear about it. Well, then you get some catching up to do.
There were a couple of shootings. One was highly publicized where only the gunman died, and the other was at a UPS warehouse in San Francisco.
And therein lies, Joe, therein exists the lesson. Which shooting? How many people died in Chicago today?
Today? I don't know. According to the Virginia governor, Terry McAuliffe, every day 93 million Americans die from gun violence.
93 million?
93 million Americans every
day. Let's do the math on that.
He said it twice.
Really? Well, I was watching some of the footage. One monitor on Fox, one on MSNBC, and the other one on CNN, and in my office, and which is kind of cool. You can do that. But I was, the one I had to roll back, the one, I don't even know who it was, said there was a shooting at our press conference today. Did you see that? And I thought, man, what, another one? But anyway.
No,
he was referencing the baseball game, but he referenced it.
Oh, he said press conference
instead of baseball or the practice. He said it was a press conference, and I had to rewind it. And I was thinking, wait a minute. Anyway,
well, just real quick, we got Dave Hodges.
Let's get
show coming on.
Let's
a shooter.
Going. Yeah,
his name is James T. Hodgkinson.
Say that fast.
Some people said like the disease Hodgkinson's.
Right.
I think that's how you pronounce it. But he has an extensive social media footprint,
yep,
saying Trump is a traitor, Trump's destroyed our democracy, it's time to destroy Trump, and many other, even socialist and communist views, and as some people are putting, he was a staunch Bernie supporter, and he was very vocal about his opposition to Trump, and to Republicans in general, wrote letters to the editor of his local paper,
yep,
was part of the Bernie campaign, made a bunch of social media posts. I got it all before his Facebook accounts were scrubbed. I got all of his likes.
Did you get screen captures of his social networking?
No, I didn't get it. I just copied and pasted information.
Yeah, I tried to, and they were disappearing as soon as I clicked on it, and bam, it went off. I got like a flash, and I don't know how that happens, but
in two separate interviews I heard today, I'm not sure who the people commenting were, but I heard them say, oh yeah, we're the investigators, the police officers are scrubbing his Facebook accounts now. They kept saying scrubbing, but they were saying it in the context of gathering information from it. But then
what, like with the cloth?
But then both of his pages were taken down. So
interesting.
But we'll have more on that as the show today.
The quote of the day, I've got to tell you this. I think it was on CNN. The reporter, anchorette was talking to, and I don't know who she was talking to, said, do you think this was deliberate? Meaning the shooting. And the person,
as opposed to what?
Well, the person said, well, it sure as hell wasn't an accident.
Well, I think I know what they mean. They mean they're literally targeting the congressman versus a drive-by shooting.
But I thought it was just that was funny. But let's get right into our show. We don't want to keep anyone waiting. We've got a lot. And again, look, you know, within 30 minutes of the shooting, everyone from our office, we were on calls. And the bottom line is this, and this is what we ended up saying. Look, this story's going to change five times, six times in the next as many minutes. We're not going to cover it right away. We're not going to get into it right away. Let the dust settle. Let's just view this once all the facts are known, and then we understand the trajectory that the press is going to use, and that's how we're handling this. So don't expect us to really comment anymore on the shooting. We do have Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com, with us. Let's get right to him. Dave, welcome to the Hagmann and the Hagmann Report.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you. Doug, personal note, we had some problems with the timing on our interview and responses, and come to find out, my internet wasn't working properly. I have no idea why, because immediately following our show, the internet was working just fine. Wow. So I just thought I would share that with you, because we were stepping on each other's words. I go, wow, I didn't even hear him talk until he was in his 10th word. And that's why
we had
internet
issues. I thought you just wanted me to shut up. I figured, you know, I was so offended after that. No, you know, I knew that there was some issue there, because there was a definite delay or lag, and then there was, yeah, some, no worries, but yeah, so they're picking on us, Dave.
Okay, well, I think you figured me out. I had you on a 7-second delay in case you said the bad words. Anyway, being what it is. Okay, yeah. Being what it is here, time is short. Let me jump right to what I've got. I've shared about half of this. Excuse me, and I'm fighting allergies today, so bear with the occasional cough. But I shared half of this with you, but more has come to light. And originally, I had two unnamed sources, one person in the FBI who I have known personally for decades, and it precedes their service in the FBI. So this is a personal resource, but obviously I'm keeping the identity under wraps, and I'm not going to disclose any more about the nature of the relationship. The other person approached me about the same time that I was approached by a Fox News reporter, and I'm not sure of the identity of the Fox News reporter, except they were able to validate what they do, and I think I figured out who they are. But in line with that, I had a State Department employee who was contacting me, and they're all three saying the same thing. And of course, you know, Doug, it's okay when the New York Times and CNN and so forth, they use unnamed sources, especially when their names as James Comey. But if we use an unnamed source, we get taken to the woodshed. But I have a named source that confirms most of what I've been told. Now, let's start, Doug, with what I shared with you earlier, but I hadn't made it terribly public because I was still working on the story. There is a purge going on with the deep state. Absolutely, unquestionably, it's going on in the FBI and in the State Department. And all three of these sources, particularly state and FBI, are adamant. Their supervisors are gone. Their supervisors are preparing to go. People have cleaned out their desks. They're just awaiting their termination, transfer, or retirement dates. But massive defections from elements within these agencies. And then I was sharing this with Monica Wesolowski, a current State Department employee, no stranger to either one of us. And she said, oh, yes, absolutely, Dave. And she said, where I work, it's like a morgue. Hardly anyone is here. Nothing is getting done. My supervisor is leaving. Her supervisor is leaving. People have already left. Desks are cleaned out with employees just there. And I don't think our division is going to survive. And what she does, and this is really very, very important, that I think we get this out here in the open now in light of the present climate. She helps produce the graphics for State Department brochures. And they do brochures on child sex trafficking. Well, interestingly, Monica, on a 25-minute interview I did with her last night, which has now subsequently disappeared, Monica revealed to me, and also she sent me confirming emails, that there is someone who's background is Saudi Arabia. She's a contract employee. She makes an ungodly amount of money, much more so than the rank and file of the State Department. And she's in charge of what goes into sex trafficking brochures. And she will never feature anything that shows child sex trafficking within the 50 states. But foreign, yeah, that's fine. They do that a lot. Also, with regard to criminality, they will never display an individual of color committing a crime. It's always now has to be a white person. Monica has challenged this. It's caused her difficulties. Additionally, what Monica has told me was she has figured out and connected dots, and I'm preparing a release on this probably close to the weekend, that there are essentially three people in the State Department now that have control over all FOIA requests. So they are basically locking down the State Department from prying eyes, and FOIA is controlled by former Ambassador Larry Palmer and his two minions, and they are essentially keeping the press and people like you and I at bay. Larry Palmer is now an executive director of a division in the State Department. Monica's had contact with him. But Monica, because of her work associations, has been able to piece all this together. And I had an exquisite interview with her last night where she laid this out piece by piece by piece, and it's gone. And guys, we've all been there. Steve Quayle told me about a month ago about something had disappeared off his site. Well, it was on my MP3 site. We had done a Skype interview at about 10:30 Eastern last night, and it was a 25-minute interview. I checked on it when it was done. It was in the MP3 shortcut file. I transfer it to a USB. My son uploads it to YouTube, and then we publish on the website. That's our process. Well, it's no longer on the MP3 shortcut file. It's gone. And yet I had the recording sign on the whole time we were interviewing. That's the first thing I check for when I do a Skype interview. So someone didn't want that information out. And so, Doug, that's basically where I'm coming from right now. And this is, I think, stunning information that the deep state is under great attack, but they are locking arms and they're controlling the flow of information right now coming out of state. I don't know of anything that's paralleling this in the FBI, except that there are mass defections in the FBI that are, from what my source tells me, deep state related. Obama and Clinton loyalists. So that's what I've got.
All right. With respect to the child sex trafficking in the State Department, basically, the bottom line, what you're telling us is, you're confirming that the State Department is not, they are withholding information essentially from the public about the sex trafficking, child sex trafficking in particular. Would this be at the request of Tillerson's not requesting this, right?
No. It's not Tillerson. In fact, let me just share this with you. Monica has been in contact with one of Tillerson's staff members, and they have been discussing these points.
So
where that's at today, I don't know. Monica and I are going to have a conversation later this evening, and I'll find out if she's had further conversations with Tillerson's people.
All right. And the other part of this as well is that there's a tremendous absence from state. Foggy Bottom is kind of a hollow place to work right now. By design, though, right? This is by design. The Obama holdouts, the Clinton holdouts, still are there, but they're not necessarily there. The works are gummed up, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, let me give you an example of what we're talking about here. I interviewed Monica on the 8th of June, and that interview is published up on the Common Sense Show as well as our YouTube channel. And in specifics, what had happened was an ongoing saga where she was being harassed for displaying the photo of Donald Trump, the sitting president, and they accused her of violating the Hatch Act. And former Ambassador Larry Palmer sicked his watchdogs on Monica, and they were going to fire her. She employed the services of a union that represents government employees, and they had a meeting with State Department's Health and Human Services Department, and they were basically told, if you keep pursuing this, you are going to get sued. So they backed off the Hatch Act allegation. Meanwhile, what's going on in Monica's division was there are Obama and Clinton photos everywhere, and that's okay. Sitting president, no. Former president and disgraced presidential candidate can have their pictures displayed. And in case people don't know, the Hatch Act means you're using your government position to further a political agenda. And
which
Monica
is ridiculous
Lewinsky.
At its face in this case.
Because Trump is now the president. It's appropriate to have his photo. And by the way, in her division, they don't have the requisite picture of Tillerson or the requisite picture of Trump that's up there. Now, in terms of the directions, who's giving directions to her division? We're both making the assumption it's Larry Palmer is making the direction to the employee who's in charge of what goes on these brochures, and the one I just referenced with a Middle Eastern background who's paid very large sums of money. Now, this, I want to make one point clear, because based on your question, I'm not sure I made this clear. When they make brochures for the State Department, they're largely informational, they're graphic, and they're put out to all different entities, and they're trying to influence public opinion. And the reason that they're not putting any child sex trafficking references to within the United States, Monica and I have both concluded that it's a cover-up. Child sex trafficking doesn't go on in the United States. Therefore, the State Department won't permit it in their brochures. Now, if this were Somalia or Brazil or even Mexico, they would allow it to go into their brochures, but not if it's United States. This is a PSYOPs operation.
Okay. And I was trying to think through, like, a devil's advocate position, the intended audience, perhaps. It wouldn't be reported sex trafficking, child sex trafficking here in the U.S. It wouldn't be appropriate for the intended audience, or wouldn't be consistent with the intended end user of that, of those brochures. However, that can't be the only one. I'm certain you'd have to have multiple, the variations of the same, I'll say brochure, but multiple variations, but it lacks, all of them lack any reference to sex trafficking that includes the United States, is what you're saying,
yes,
ultimately.
But not sex trafficking outside our boundaries. And see, I think that's a diversion away from, I look at this as a diversion away from Pedogate. I think there's no question that this is a PSYOPs operation. And then there's a racist component to follow up on that revelation again. Monica has had a fit because of the fact that she's made the comment to this person, are white people the only people that commit crimes in the world? Because that's what's coming out on State Department brochures that she's seeing, and not any people of color. And it's promoting racism. It's kind of like this news item yesterday that I reported on where some professor came out and said white marble is representative art-wise of white supremacy. It's this kind of lunacy right now where the loony left is reaching for anything they can to make anything into a racist issue they can. They look at wallpaper and find racism.
No, people have lost their collective minds when it comes to this, from ice cream to the color of someone's shirt, for crying out loud. People need to get a grip. I get that. All right. What about the...
Let me give you a couple other revelations about Monica, though, okay? Because Monica was harassed when they were going through using the union to get Larry Palmer and the State Department off her backside about the violation of the Hatch Act. And I published pictures of this. She was harassed by one continual car always following her. The car actually chased her through a parking garage. There were witnesses. The Fairfax, Virginia police were involved. They said, we can't protect you, don't go home. The plates were government plates, federal government plates. She's been harassed several times since then. I've published a lot of this, but in the newest, she's been poisoned twice and has had to go to the emergency room two different times. Her cat was poisoned to death. And the harassment of her and what she's going through, she's not spending much time in her apartment now because things are disappearing. Obviously, people are getting there and fooling with her food, her drink, and killing her animals. So she's now staying with friends, and she's planning more of a permanent move. So the harassment of the State Department employee has not stopped. And I'm going to submit right here on your show that this is extended to me, because when I make a recording with someone and I play the recording back to verify its sound quality and so forth, and before I can get it into production and it just disappears, that's impossible. I had a sound file, and it was also on my Skype file, but someone managed to to gain access to my computer and take that interview away.
And there was no backup? You had no physical backup elsewhere that you could have used?
The next step would have been to put it on a USB, and then we process it from the USB. But I validated the fact that it was stored correctly in two different places. That's my backup.
All right.
And so I go in, and I'll tell you, we have done an exhaustive search. It is not there. This is not the first time this has happened to me, but it's been a couple of years. Like I said, it's interesting and almost coincidental. The last phone conversation I had with Steve Quayle, he complained about something similar happening to him. So yeah, we think we're secure on our computers. We're really not.
Oh, heck no. Believe me, we're not secure anywhere. And I've seen this happen. We have redundancy built in our systems here for that very reason. And, of course, any interview that we do is stored off-site, away from the network. It's off-network. But the interview was accessible to networks, your network, your home network, or whatever network you were using. So it was accessible that way, I suppose, is what you're saying. Right.
Two ways. I have an MP3 file that my recorder automatically stores it in, and then I physically save it to another file, a digital file that I use for the upload.
But they're both accessible to a network of some kind that the intrusion. Which by the way, we've had files erased in that fashion as well. So all of our files of any degree of sensitivity, what we do is we have a backup and a backup of a backup, both disconnected from the network. And it's a shame when you have to do something like that at this point. But yeah, you're right. Many things that we're seeing, Dave, and I know that we are all seeing this, where it doesn't really matter how important or how, maybe that's the wrong word. It doesn't seem to matter how high up in the food chain one might be. It seems like it's based on the subject matter and perhaps found by way of, some audio identification. What do you think?
Keyword. I think it's keyword search based. I think it's NSA related. That's my best guess. But with regard to Monica and my interview with her, I mean, Palmer's minions are just morons. They don't think that when I get in tonight, that I can't call Monica and we'll just redo the interview. And this time I'll put it on a USB the moment we're done. So they won't be able to tamper with it in that same manner. So we're going to do this interview. It's going to get published. In fact, actually, I'll ask better questions because Monica sent me two emails that I printed out that detail a lot of what I'm telling you. And she's had email exchanges that have allowed her to connect these dots. Doug, here's the long and short. This is the takeaway I want the audience to go with here. Number one, I've been very impatient with Donald Trump because it seems like he was inactive and gets going against the deep state, particularly James Comey, and he is not. He is going about his business, and they are firing people in segments and divisions and office organizations, and these people are either being reassigned, they're being outright terminated for cause, or they are early retiring. So there's a whole plethora, but that's FBI. The State Department, I could speak specifically to Monica's revelation. Her entire division is being gutted. She said, it's her exact words in the interview, it's like a morgue. No one's here. Now, she said, I'm extremely fearful for my safety. She said, but the number of people that could come after me have been greatly reduced. And no one talks to her. She's a pariah. In her division, she said they are all Obamaites, every one of them. She doesn't have one ally that supports Trump. Not one.
Well,
isn't that amazing?
That's ridiculous. Yeah, it is amazing when you think about it and how much, how divided we are as a country, but how divided even the institutions of government are right now. That's pretty sad, Dave. It really is, man. Okay.
Well, I don't see, Doug, and here's my biggest takeaway. This country is hopelessly divided, and I'm the eternal optimist, and I would like to think that, you know, we can restore this. And short of God working a miracle through mass prayer, we are not going to heal these rifts, and these rifts are going to grow wider and wider until we have extreme civil discord like we saw today at that park with the congressional baseball game. And then we're going to see more of these and more of these. I think we're headed down the road of civil war.
Yeah, I think we're already there for, in a large part, my friend. Well, all right.
Ideologically, you're correct. I would agree with you. You're absolutely correct.
And, you know, let me make a prediction before you leave. I believe that today's incident, even though in contrast to previous incidents, it was not that bad. Okay, of course it was horrible, but relative to others. But I believe that today, what happened today, will be a catalyst for gun law changes. I really believe that. I don't know why. I've got nothing to back that up except my gut feeling. But I think that this is going to be used to make some changes to the gun laws. That's my personal opinion. Dave Hodges.
Sandy Hook, and doing it better. Thanks for having me on, Doug.
Yeah, your commonsenseshow.com, your interview with Monica, you're going to do it again, and it'll be up when?
Whenever she and I have time to sit down and do it. If she can do it late tonight, it'll be up in the morning.
All right. We're going to be looking for that, and I can't wait for that. Dave, as always, you're a patriot. Thank you for putting up the fight you're fighting. God bless you, my friend.
Thanks, Doug. See you, Joe.
All right.
Bye, Dave.
TheCommonSenseShow.com. Dave Hodges, great guy, man.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, it really is. Wow. You know, think about that. The State Department, what's taking place in the State Department. Remember right back with Peter... Choka. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Peter is the author from The American Thinker, and he's been writing pieces all this week that we've been putting up on HagmanReport.com. The latest was cable ratings are not good tidings for Fox News, and that's up on HagmanReport.com as well as The American Thinker. He's going to be with us for the next segment. We're going to cover some of today's events and other topics as move forward. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced, Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Of the Hagman and the Hagman Report coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. I want to welcome our good friend, Peter Chowka. I always have a tendency to really mispronounce that, his last name. It's not that hard, as we do frequently here, mispronounce, last names. But having said that, I want to mention this. He's a man I've gotten to know, and I really respect his work. I've had the opportunity, as has my son Joe, to speak with him off air. And he's a true journalist. He is a true researcher. He is a guy that will take a subject and will dig deep and get to the root, the epicenter of whatever subject he is talking about. And it's with great pleasure I want to welcome back to the program, Peter Chowka. Peter, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you, Doug. It's great to be with you and Joe again, and I hope we're coming through okay on Skype.
You are.
Yeah, sounds
okay.
Good. Yeah.
We're on hi-fi today, unlike last week when I was on a landline. We're slowly moving up to video Skype, but when you reach a certain age, you have to take that one step at a time to go video.
You know, I'm right there with you. Yeah, I've got my senior moments more and more coming through, and with electronics, just forget about it. I'm not there with electronics, and I really don't have that desire to be there. But all things said, my goodness, what a news day today! We start out this morning with a shooting, and American Thinker contrasted. Thomas Lifson, the editor of American Thinker, had contrasted the coverage of today's shooting, folks, against that of Representative Gabby Giffords' shooting in January of 2011. It's up on American Thinker, and it's an amazing. The events of today are amazing, and of course, last night we saw what happened in London with that building, the high rise. What a tragedy that was! But Peter, where do you want to start? And you've got, by the way, folks, Peter has an amazing number of columns about what is taking place behind the scenes at Fox News. And if you have I would say this, go to American Thinker, and we've linked on, and I've spread it on our social networking feed, your columns, Peter. You've done an amazing job of dissecting the censorship, the takedown of the conservative media. But where do you want to start today, sir?
Well, I guess by saying that I'm still in kind of a state of shock and extreme sadness at the news we've seen today, and I was actually up quite early this morning and online when the news first broke widely about the shootings in Virginia involving the members or targeting the members of Congress. And I was also in touch with Thomas Lifson, an American Thinker at that time. We were texting back and forth initially about another issue. And then I started, you're right, he mentioned early on the contrast between how the media was reporting on this case today in contrast to what they did with the case of the shooting of Representative Gabby Giffords in January of 2011, which I also was following very closely that day in 2011. So I quickly went online and found some archival stories from right at that period, which I sent to Thomas, and he was able to use that as part of one of his blog reports. But it was doubly eerie sort of connecting with the news as it evolved today, and then recollecting the news from 2011. And of course, just briefly to say, the contrast was that initially, after the reports in 2011 of the Gifford shooting, the mainstream media and much of the political establishment jumped on that story literally within minutes of the shooting to try to blame the Tea Party, conservatives, talk radio, and Sarah Palin in particular, all of which was absolutely ludicrous, later shown to be. And in fact, the articles that I gave to Thomas suggested that or confirmed that. But today I happened to be watching very closely as the coverage evolved, and I know Joe was too, because I was exchanging some emails with Joe, and then we had our phone conversation a bit later. And like Joe, I found that, of course, the first thing you ask when something like this happens is, the first thing you wonder and you want to know is, who and why? Who's the perpetrator and what is their motivation? Well, for some reason, the mainstream TV media, the cable news channels and the broadcast channels, which are also on the story, were very, very slow to give us that information. Meanwhile, online, I think it was at least an hour before it popped up on the cable news channels, I had the alleged shooter's name. I had his Facebook page on my screen. I had a number of articles which were talking about him, and even the Washington Post confirmed his identity well before it was picked up by the television news channels. Now, previously I had thought, or earlier today when it started breaking, I thought, well, you know, because I've been writing critically about the cable news channels and Fox News in particular, and I thought, well, this kind of day still brings home the point that having a national television medium that we can turn to at a crisis moment is valuable, as it was in the 60s when I was alive then and paying attention, and we had the political assassinations and riots and other things, and you could turn to your television and feel reassured that the story was being covered and you were seeing it with millions of other people at the same time. But today I saw that again kind of go out the window as we had to wait until, for some reason I still don't understand, Fox News and CNN were just waiting to give us this information. Now, I was eventually we saw that the channels did delve into and report the background of the shooter as being an extreme left-wing individual and a Bernie Sanders supporter. And I think part of that was actually attributable to Sanders himself, Senator Sanders going to the Senate floor and getting ahead of the story by saying, yes, this man reportedly had volunteered for him, but Sanders wanted nothing to do with this. He disowns any violence, and as Bill O'Reilly might have said, for that moment he was a stand-up guy. But I think that kind of put the story of this character's background, that is the shooter, into the public sphere, and the cable channels finally went with it. But it was very bizarre and upsetting and ultimately sad following all this, because I've also had very closely in mind in recent days, and I know you talked about this on your program, the absolutely sickening displays of violence illustrated by Kathy Griffin with her severed Donald Trump head photograph. And then, of course, in New York City at Central Park, we've heard about the performances of Shakespeare's classic, yeah, Julius Caesar, but with the characters in modern dress, and Caesar apparently looking exactly like Donald Trump, with a wife who looks like Mrs. Donald Trump, violently killed in a bloody stabbing scene. And instead of being questioned or absolutely dismissed, this is being claimed to be a masterpiece by the likes of Fareed Zakaria, and reportedly the other night it got a standing ovation from the crowd after the death scene. And this just boggles the mind, even before what happened today. But I think now we are reaping in many ways what we have sown, not to say that the Shakespeare play or Kathy Griffin put the gun in this man's hand today. I certainly wouldn't go that far. But we have a climate now in which...
Yes.
This is legit.
Well, and you bring up an important point here, because if I can ask this, who do you believe will ultimately own this shooting? And I don't like to use that phrase, but who will be the, it's a climate of hate, as you had mentioned, Kathy Griffin with Donald Trump's head, the decapitation, and of course the Shakespearean play in the park, which is utterly, transparent for what it is. But who will own, or who will, I don't know, who's going to be fingered, shall we say, for this event?
That's an excellent question, and I'd start out with a quote that I picked up an hour ago from Charles Krauthammer, who's a medical doctor and a psychiatrist, when he was on Fox News. And he said, if we're going to have a standard on this, this is a direct quote, if we're going to have a standard on this, let's not have a double standard, end quote. By which he meant that many of the perpetrators of mass violence in recent years, those who have come from the political left, are generally said to be, by the mainstream media and many politicians, they're said to be crazy or mentally ill or deranged. You know, it's kind of like what we see when there's a mass killing or mass shooting by someone professing the Muslim faith and shouting Allahu Akbar as he shoots and kills. And, you know, that's, of course, described as gun violence or workplace violence. Whereas with the case of Dylann Roof in South Carolina, that young Caucasian man who viciously killed, I believe it was 9 African Americans at a church, I mean, a horrendous crime. And, of course, he was held accountable. But although there was a lot of blame that seemed to be attached in the discussion after that, hitting a very wide target of right-wingers, you know, the usual suspects. So I think Krauthammer was right. Let's not have a double standard, but I expect that we will in this case. We shall see the shooter is dead. I'm certainly not sorry about that outcome, but let's see what happens in the days ahead. But again, I think we're going to have our work cut out for us in trying to clarify this really shocking situation. By the way, just this aside, Fox News presented at 12:52 p.m. Eastern Time today a brief live phone interview with former D.C. homicide detective Rod Wheeler.
I saw that live, yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that a nice surprise? Because he figured in the Seth Rich case discussion of about 3 weeks ago, and he disappeared after that, after Fox News retracted the story that was based on his investigation there. But apparently he's been given perhaps a, well, unless some producer made a mistake there, but I'm hoping that he'll be allowed back on Fox News, as Judge Napolitano was when Napolitano a few months ago took President Trump's side of it and said that his sources, Napolitano, said that yes, Trump had been wiretapped, and for that he was exiled into some kind of Fox News purgatory for a few weeks, but he's back now, so I hope the same can be said of Rod Wheeler, because he's a person who I followed over the years, and I have a lot of respect for his work. But you know, it's also interesting that the hate-filled Twitter rants we see, Drudge linked to this at Drudge Report.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, and again, no surprise there that the absolute hate that comes out of these leftists' mouths or internet accounts is just mind-boggling.
Peter, do you think that today's? I said the last segment. I have a gut feeling, and I have nothing to back this up with, but I have a gut feeling that the incident today will do more to advance some sort of agenda, whether it's anti-Second Amendment, anti-gun agenda, than any other incident, even Sandy Hook or Gabby Giffords. I just have this feeling. I don't know why. Do you have any feelings like that, or do you have any sense about that?
Yes, I agree with you, and I think feelings are important. I mean, we saw in the first press conference Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, certainly a questionable individual in his own right, for his past actions. In any case, today was using the immediate first press conference to pitch gun control, kind of construing this as gun violence was responsible for this. And as Joe noted, he also, I believe, was he the one who said that 93 million people a day in the United States?
Yeah, he said that twice.
Twice. I picked up on that too, and I was waiting for him to finally correct himself. But, yeah, I mean, in a way, I was pleased, limitedly, to see that members of Congress, politicians, appeared to come together in a unity push, including Nancy Pelosi, who went on at some length there. And while she was talking, I was thinking, again, this is the best the Democrats have to offer for national leadership in the House. It's pretty pathetic. But there is this veneer of unity now, and it's said that members of Congress are going to be dining together, Republicans, Democrats, and of course we have the charity baseball game, which is supposedly going forward tomorrow night. So we'll have some lip service to this, but I really don't. I think the Pandora's box that's been opened, and I would attribute that to the 8-year regime of Barack Hussein Obama, who I believe is responsible for a lot of this hate climate, first and foremost. But I think you can't put that genie back into the bottle too easily. So it's anybody's guess what what's going to happen from here on out. And we know for a fact, Doug and Joe, that the agenda of the left is to continue to curtail our Second Amendment rights. We're already tied up in knots with the Second Amendment in so many ways, and it can only get worse, and they will take advantage of that. They'll be fundraising on it. Democratic politicians will be fundraising on it, just as they are moving forward on single-payer health care. This is something that is rearing its ugly head again, and with all this other stuff that's been happening, not only today, and of course today is a big story that deserves to be on the front burner for today and perhaps the next few days, but in recent days, with all the absolute nonsensical fake news stories we've been preoccupied with, the mainstream media and the political deep state, these other things have been going on below the surface, percolating there like single payer, which are moving forward radically and actively. And having studied socialized medicine and single payer for about 25 years now and written about it widely in the past, I have to say without hyperbole that if and when we get single payer, that is going to be a significant last nail in the coffin of our last freedom as Americans. Already we have a healthcare system that is only partly free, and when you set out to use it, you can see that. For example, it may be one that you're familiar with, Doug. If you have a loved one, or you, God forbid, or me, God forbid, has to have surgery or for anything, and you need pain medication after that, you realize that the time frame where you can get that pain medication as prescribed by your physician is now very, very limited. In fact, they will tell you after a short span of time that instead of the prescription pain medication, which is now suddenly non grata, disallowed by government edict, by the way, by Obamacare edict, you're going to have to just tough it out or take aspirin or Tylenol. It's absolutely ridiculous. Whereas 10 years ago, it's interesting to remember that the medical profession was moving ahead with a new understanding of pain, and citizens groups that were lobbying for this were saying, you know, we need to have our pain taken care of. So there were continuing education seminars on this for physicians and nurses. There were journal articles published on this, that we have to give people pain medication so they're not in pain. That's been turned on its head now with this new meme, largely pushed by Democrat politicians, I must say, that they're, well, it is true, there's an opioid epidemic in this country, but it's not accountable to people who legitimately need these pharmaceuticals for pain control until they can control their pain. So that's a very direct example of how the federal government's increasing control of doctors, what they can do, the government sitting between the doctor or the surgeon and the patient is worsening the situation for the patient. And
Peter, I've got to say this very quickly. I am an advocate. If someone is in pain, if they've got a terminal condition, I just want to make this very clear. I believe that they should get it. I am very upset and angered by legitimate individuals, people who have had surgery, people who have cancer, whatever their needs are, or whatever their condition is, to be made to suffer over some moron's joyride on some opiates, okay? So I just want to make that perfectly clear, and I think you've done so much, and I think you agree with me on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, there's an analogy with what we see in the attempts to control or limit the Second Amendment. You have some irresponsible person go out there and shoot someone, crazy or not, whatever, and suddenly everyone who wants to profess their Second Amendment rights is guilty, and it has to be restricted. It's the same thing we see when the government's involved in medicine, and it has been involved closely and increasingly since the end of World War II. So really a doctor's hands are tied already, and single payer is going to be the next terrible thing we have to be aware of, and I hope at some point we can have an opportunity to really get into that, because you know, another thing I would like to talk about at some point is how single payer is going to really restrict our medical freedom of choice as it involves natural therapeutics. I know you frequently have on Ted Brewer to talk about clinical options in staying healthy with primary prevention and with nutritional supplements and other natural therapies. Well, that is, it's already under the gaze of the government, but that is going to be severely restricted, if not criminalized, if we get single payer. And I've done a tremendous amount of research on that question. And in fact, when I started doing it 20, 25 years ago, it seemed like this probably wouldn't happen. And if it did, it would be so far in the future, I wouldn't have to worry about it. And now it's moved to the front burner. That is this single payer madness. So anyone interested in their supplements and their vitamins and their diet, you know, you've got to be aware of what's happening.
And Peter, in California, they recently, the state Senate passed a plan to establish the single payer healthcare system. But they have a problem. They don't know where they're going to get the $400 billion annually to pay for it. And under the single-payer healthcare system, this would cover, in their perfect world, this would cover not only citizens and other legal residents, but also any undocumented immigrants with taxpayer-funded healthcare.
And for pretty much any therapy that you want. You know, Joe, I was reading about that this afternoon and refreshing my knowledge on that. And some of the proponents of this nutty California plan have said, yes, it will be free, but of course we will add at least an additional 15% payroll tax to pay for it on top of Social Security. And if you're self-employed, what is the Social Security tax now? 15-16% on top of the state income tax in California, which I believe is about 14 or 15%. So right off the top, you'll be paying 45% in taxes there before you even get to federal income tax and property tax and sales tax. So you'll be taxed at something close to like an 80% rate. It'll be as bad as Scandinavia. This is where it's going, and these lunatics think this is actually workable. It's insanity.
Not only that, the single payer model eliminates any private insurance and puts the insurance or the medical regulations and everything right in the laps of the politicians and political decision makers.
Hillary care and everything, Joe. Right? I mean, this is what they wanted right from day one.
This is the end goal. This is the end goal to Obamacare, is the single payer. And
right,
that's
how Obamacare was designed to fail, to create these problems so that the dumbed-down public would say, well, we tried the insurance model. That didn't work. We tried the Obamacare kind of mixed government-private sector model. That didn't work. The only option left, which is what Bernie Sanders and the Democrats are pushing now, and the crazies in California who are in power there, this one-party state, the only option left is single-payer, and it sounds good. They don't even call it socialized medicine. They call it single-payer, free health care for all. And right off the bat, you're going to have a significant percentage of people who say, it sounds good, let's do it.
Well, yeah, you know, if you can, in theory, it sounds good if you had, but it's just going to create a bigger tax burden, a bigger financial burden for any of us who are paying into the system. And one of the things, I mean, just to allow people to, under these plans, to have sex changes, and I mean, it's just crazy what they want to do, and covering undocumented illegal immigrants, And some of the left-wing newspapers and online sites go on to, you know, cite Canada and other nations' healthcare as, you know, great examples of how this works. And if you do any research, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Right.
You're waiting days and days in Canada just to, you know, get treatment for the flu. By the time you get to a doctor, you're either going to be dead by the flu or, you know, you're just going to be gone.
All you have to do is read the British newspaper press online. And sometimes it seems almost daily they will have reports, hair-raising reports, of what the socialized medical care system in Britain is like, the National Health Service, it's called. It's been in effect there since 1948. Also, in the scientific and medical journals, there are obscure studies and reports here and there which document the far worse health conditions in these countries that have socialized medical care, whether it's Cuba, Venezuela, or the so-called advanced countries like Britain and Canada. I mean, how many people from Britain and Canada come to this country when they need surgery or cancer care? I mean, even if you believe in conventional cancer therapy like chemotherapy, your chance of that working for you is statistically significantly worse if you live in the United Kingdom than if you do in the United States. And they have modern medical care over there. It's just that it can't be utilized in the appropriate time frame as it is here in terms of the surgery or other interventions which may presumably or possibly in some cases increase your longevity, probably not cure you, but the outcomes are much worse in these socialized medicine countries. And yet you will hear primarily the Democrat politicians say again and again the big lie that we are the only Western country that doesn't have health care is a right, guaranteed free medical care for all. And I say, thank God we are not, because it works better when you don't go down that road. But again, that seems to be the road we're going down.
Peter Chowka, I just want to tell you, I admire your writing. I admire your research. The depth of and quality of your work product is unmatched in my view. Articles at AmericanThinker.com. Thank you so much for joining us for this segment. Your insight into the shooting, as well as the healthcare issue. My goodness. We're going to have you back again and again. People love you. In fact, I've gotten so many emails since your last appearance. So thank you for gracing us with your appearance tonight, and we're going to be talking soon again.
Thank you so much, Doug and Joe. I appreciate it. I appreciate your generous comments, and I'll look forward to our next visit.
Indeed. All right. Folks, we're going to be right back. Network break. Stay right where you're at. Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke
ductless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family, prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, Precious Timber.